Aaron Wilson covers the Baltimore Ravens for the Baltimore Sun. He's on the line with us from Owings Mills, Maryland, the headquarters of the Ravens, in a site today of a big news conference, the official announcement of Joe Flacco's big contract with the Ravens. First of all, Aaron, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, what does it all mean here? A six-year package reported at $126.6 million total. Wow. I mean, right now as we sit today, and I know this stuff is fluid and changes, but we're talking about Joe Flacco being the highest paid player in the NFL.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, and for Joe, in his press conference, he kept talking about how, hey, that's pretty sweet. It really hasn't sunk in yet quite for him that he's paid that way. And he said it was never about the money, it's about the respect, because he is a multimillionaire already, and he's not a guy that spends a lot of money. He's a guy that, you know, likes restaurants like TGI Fridays, or, you know, he's a really low-key guy. He didn't dress up for this press conference. He wore jeans and a sweatshirt. he's same old Joe, so I don't think money will change him at all. But, yeah, it's a neat contract, and it's probably, you know, the shelf life of how, you know, it'll stand is probably for the next 3 years. So he gets $62 million in the first three, and he has low cap figures this year, $6.8 million, but then it goes up to $29 million in year four, and that's when it's designed for them to address the contract again and, you know, do a restructure, you know, assuming Joe is, you know, playing the way they hope he will. This contract really banks on Joe continuing to play the way he did, the stellar way he performed in the postseason with 11 touchdowns and no interceptions. So it's a good contract. He gets $29 million to sign. It's $120.6 million total, a $20.1 million average. Wow. And he gets a $1 million base salary this year, which, of course, is guaranteed. A total of $52 million in guaranteed money, so a little less than Tom Brady and guys like that. But, you know, in terms of metrics, he beats them in some other areas. And yeah, it's a nice deal. I know he's happy about it.
Yeah.
And his family, he said he found out he was, like a lot of New Jersey families, they have pizza night on Friday night. He was at his uncle's house. He said that his parents, his grandparents and aunt and uncle and his wife, they'll, you know, sit down and have some pizza.
Yes.
And the news comes on, and he kind of already knew that it was in a good position, but he didn't know it was done. And it comes out that the deal's done, and his uncle says, hey, you're the highest paid player in football. And he said, he didn't even know how to react to it. He said, that's pretty sweet. I'm standing outside of the Ravens, they call it the castle because it's in a fancy building. It's,
yes.
Sure, one winning drive in Owings Mills, Maryland.
I've been there. It's a beautiful
place. Yeah. Joe Flacco. So I'm standing out here, and he calls over to his agent, Joe Linton, his marketing guy, Tommy Klein. He says, hey, I'll send you guys that check. And they're all laughing. Maybe they have a check, 3% of $20.1
million.
So, pretty sweet day for Joe Linton, who's a football lifer and represents a lot of guys like Romeo Crennel and Bill O'Brien, the Penn State coach. So, yeah, and well-liked in the football industry. So, yeah, but then Joe and all the Joes, Linton, Flacco, they all get in their cars and drive off, and mission accomplished. The contract signed, and now Joe Flacco under contract for the next 6 years.
So, Aaron, on many levels, I mean, this is a fascinating story because you have, of course, Joe Flacco taking the gamble of rejecting an offer that was made to him, during the season to get this deal done or get
back in August. Yeah, they hit an impasse back then, and that's when they cut off the talks.
So he plays the gamble that, hey, let me play out the year. Obviously, there's a health risk. He took that. And then there's the performance risk. He took that. And the payoff is he leads that team to the Super Bowl and wins the MVP, puts himself in great position. I mean, did the Ravens have any real choice here? Was there ever any doubt, as close as you are to that team, that they would do something like this?
In terms of doing the deal to this level?
Yeah.
Or do you mean in terms of doing something?
No, doing the deal to this level.
They were prepared for this. They really had thought about it, and organizationally were prepared to go to this level. At some point, you know, were they going to hit some sticky points that, you know, Joe Linton, you know, we're talking out in the hallway after the press conference, he said, you know, I thought this thing was headed toward the franchise tag as of last Thursday. Then I sent them a proposal and said, if you'll do this, this, and this, do we have a deal? And Friday night, the answer becomes yes. And it all came together. And he was traveling, which was the interesting story, because he was trying to attend, he ended up going to Texas to go to a one of his clients' weddings, Bengals receiver Ryan Whalen. So, you know, he's finding out, you know, his phone's blown up from Pat Mariota, the Ravens cap guy that he negotiated with, and, you know, that, yes, that's, we have a deal. Mm-hmm. That's how he found out. So it was a kind of interesting confluence of how everything went down. But, yeah, it was an interesting story. But, yeah, with the Ravens and their commitment to Flacco, they felt like he earned it. He'd borne out everything they'd hoped for. And to make them a Super Bowl champion, you know, like Flacco was saying today, well, I'd still be the same quarterback even if we hadn't won the game, but it certainly didn't hurt getting Steve Bisciotti to reach deep into his pocket.
Oh,
because,
sure,
you know,
sure.
You're a champion. You know, I'm standing, I'm right outside the lobby, and I'm looking at the new trophy, which is next to, adjacent to the fireplace, so the old trophy, and you got Art Modell, you know, very nice painting of Art, and you're looking down, so it's kind of like you're looking down at the trophies, looking down at the fireplace here in the lobby, and, yeah, this trophy couldn't be any shinier. And, you know, when you win one of those, you usually can call your shot, and Flacco was able to.
He did just that. Aaron Wilson joins us. He covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Sun on the Revel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And, Aaron, there are ramifications when you make that investment in a player on a team that was already very tight to the cap would be an understatement. I think the team is over in many respects. What does this mean? I mean, are guys like Paul Kruger, for instance, going to be likely available in free agency? What does it mean to Ed Reed? What does it mean to some of the other players, Anquan Boldin and so forth, that are under contract, but obviously got to have some, the team, you know, doesn't have the room to maybe accommodate them?
Right. The contract, because it's much lower than the franchise tender, either the non-exclusive or the exclusive, exclusive would have been $19.1 million and change, and the exclusive non-exclusive $14.896 million. They're now they have a cap figure of $6.8 million for the first year for Flacco. That puts them in approximately, with the Ray Lewis and Matt Burke retirements clearing $6.4 million last week when they went on the reserve retired list, they have $11.263 million under the cap. That's including the Flacco contract.
Mm-hmm.
That does not include any restricted free agents, that does not include their rookie pool, and it does not include re-signing any of their unrestricted free agents, like the gentleman you mentioned, the LRBs, the Krugers, the Kerry Williams, and the Ed Reeds. What I think they have enough money to do, barring, you know, cutting some more guys, they haven't done that yet, but I expect Bobby Williams to potentially be cut. I think Vonta Leach is a potential cap casualty, and they probably need to address and lower the $7.5 million cap figure for Anquan Boldin. So I foresee them keeping Boldin, probably keeping Ellerby is the top priority, and I still see Paul Kruger and Kerry Williams making it to free agency and being available and, you know, commanding pretty good prices, as well as Ed Reed. The hope for Ozzie Newsome is to convince Ed to come back on some sort of, I would say, an incentive-laden thing.
Okay.
I think that is a possibility, and Ed even said today on NFL Network that he is still open to that, and maybe not to the incentive laden, but he still wants to be back with the Ravens. So we'll see. You know, he made $7 million last year, and they're not going to use the franchise tag on anyone, so all of those guys will be unrestricted.
Okay.
And I don't know if anything is getting done before, you know, the 10th, 11th, or 12th. We'll just see what happens. But if I'm thinking with Ellerby, he's worth like Stephen Tulloch money probably, about $25.5 million. I think Paul Kruger costs $40 million. That's what David Dunn, his guy, will shoot for. And then with Kerry Williams, corners, they get paid a lot, even guys that aren't Pro Bowl corners. He's a good corner at 75 tackles and 4 picks. And, you know, he held his own as the top corner with Lardarius Webb, tore up his knee. But I think he's going to be of interest. And, I'm not just trying to tie them to Cleveland per se because of the cap space, but I think that some of these players could be of interest to the Browns, and I'm sure at least they'll have that conversation and be in the mix. So will the Colts, who have a lot of cap space, and they have that connection with Chuck Pagano. But,
sure.
Yeah, I'm thinking with the ownership, the new ownership in Cleveland, that they'll certainly pay attention to players in the division, and they'll do all their due diligence. Joe Mann and all those guys, they know what they're doing, and they do a great job. And I'm kind of excited to see what the Browns are going to be like, because you have a regime change, and you got Rob Chudzinski is very well thought of. And yeah, so I can't. I'm paying a lot of attention to the Browns because I'm just really curious to see how things are going to be in Cleveland. There's some. Baltimore's had some change. They're Super Bowl champion, but the other teams in the division are changing too, especially Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I mean, when you talk about all the, and again, today's a big day. It's a game changer for the league, not just the Baltimore Ravens with Flacco's deal. But you just wonder now what it means to Baltimore's ability to stay on top. And I understand they haven't even had the Super Bowl ring presentation yet. But you have to ask that question: is can you maintain this? And it sounds to me like a lot of Super Bowl teams, they're gonna look different come 2013 season.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think especially on defense, because you're potentially looking at four starters, or I call Kruger a starter. He played so much, even though he's a sub rusher. He had 9 sacks, and 4.5 in the playoffs and 2 in the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I think that, is there a potential that 4 defensive mainstays are gone? Yes, that is a possibility.
Right. Well, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out once we go through the entire free agency period, the offseason in general. And, Aaron, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me, Vic.
All right. He is Aaron Wilson joining us via the Revel Wireless Hotline right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got so much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.